Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Hey, as you take your seats, this is part number 7, taking to heart God's promises. Remember what we've been saying all these times is taking to heart is no good if you just have it in your mouth, or no good if you just have it in your Bible sitting on your counter. Knowing God's promises and putting them to work every day in your life is very important. There's just tons of promises in the Scripture. Most people don't understand that, but God makes promises for a reason. You know why? Because you can count on God. You can't count on people. You cannot count on humans. Stop putting your trust and faith and confidence in a man or a woman. Start putting it in God. Men and women can screw up. Except, of course, me. And I'm the biggest screw-up of them all. That's why I'm here, to tell you the truth, that we need to have God, we need God to minister to us, and we need to realize that the Word of the Lord is great and mighty, and put these promises of God to work. How do you do that? You put them in your heart. Let me ask you a question. Now let's play a little game. Let me ask you a question. You answer this question in your heart, nobody will know the answer. Here's the question. If you could choose your future, what would you choose? I mean, if you really could say, wow, I'd like to be happy, or I'd like to be blessed, or I'd like to have some economy. If you could choose your future, what would you ask for? You would say to yourself, well, I want this and I want that, and I want this and I want that. And there isn't anybody in here that wouldn't want to be blessed. There's nobody in here that wants to come along and say, well, I want a crappy future. I want to be sick and miserable, down and out. I want to be a loser. I want to starve to death. I want to, you know, like feel terrible about myself and hate my wife and kids. I want to grow up and be the most miserable person on the planet. If you are that way or think that way of you, please see someone after church. Will cast the devil out of you. Because there isn't anybody in here that doesn't want to be blessed. And let's face it. But here's the question again. If you could choose what your future is, what would you choose? See, now a lot of times people stop right there. And they have no idea that you can choose exactly what your future is. Did you know that your future isn't determined by what God has done on the planet and what He's going to do or someday might do in your life? But your future is determined on what you believe today and what you set your heart on today. You literally have the power, and I'll prove it to you in just a moment, to make the choices for your future that'll turn out what you're believing God for. For most people, that is like an insane statement. But that's what the Bible is describing to us all the time. There are conditions to your choices in order for them to be fulfilled. And that's where we get down where the rubber meets the road. That's why it says in Joshua, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a choice. You know, and so when you make a choice for something, it determines what your future is going to be. You literally have the right to make choices, and you have the right and the power to fulfill those choices. That's where grace comes in and causes it to come to pass. Most people don't know that as Christians. They're just waiting for God to, you know, maybe sprinkle some dewdrops from heaven on them. Or maybe have a golden goose fly over, or maybe some tree produce some kind of gold, or some relative die and bless them or something like that. When in fact, you have the choice for your future. In fact, let's just take a look at a funny little verse. Let me take you, if I may. I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy. Listen to me closely. Deuteronomy 11th chapter. And in verse number 26 says, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way in which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not even known. I mean, can you imagine that? Here God makes this statement. I'm placing before you blessings, and I'm placing before you cursings. You can have the blessings, and you know that every single one of us that are in here want to have those blessings. But here's the promise that goes with it. Back to the first part of that. He says, the curse, go back to the first part of 28. And it says this, behold, I set before you today blessings and curse. Go ahead to the next part. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. In other words, there is a blessing waiting for those, a life that is blessed for those that simply make that choice to follow God. Not to follow God the way we think, not to follow God the way we feel, not to follow God the way we want, but literally to just simply follow God. A lot of people don't understand that. In fact, look what it says. And let me just take you to Luke, the 11th chapter. Here we find Jesus, he's in ministry. And a woman says to him, a strange statement in verse number 27. It says, and it happened as he spoke these things, a certain woman found in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Can you imagine a statement like that? In other words, blessed is the womb that bore you and blessed is the breast that fed you. And Jesus comes along the very next statement and he says, there's one better than that that's going to be blessed. Listen to this verse, if you will, in verse number 28. It says it like, and he said, more than that, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, here's a life that you have of blessings. Are a life of cursings. Someone said to me one time, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. My life is just crappy as can be. And I said, well, how come? Being a Christian doesn't guarantee that you got a great life. Here comes something more is a blessed that are hearers of the word and people who keep them. In other words, if you want to be blessed, I'm placing before you blessings and cursings. Curse yourself by not doing what I tell you to do. Or get blessed by doing what I tell you to do. Now, the funny thing, a lot of people say, I try. Can I tell you something? Stop trying and start putting your faith in the ability of God, which is grace. Listen, we have a terminology in this place. Grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done. Deborah describes it differently. Deborah says it like this. Grace gives you the inward power to do what the word of God demands of you. In other words, what God says to me, he tells me to do it. Then he gives me the power to do it. Then he warns me about little things that are bayous that get me all screwed up. So I never do it. He's got this whole thing covered. All you have to do is have the want. And guess what? My Bible says there's promises of those people that are obedient. And that's what we're going to talk about. Some of them, just some of them tonight. Can't do them all. But I found a few that I think were really fascinating. Now remember, how to do this is that first you make up your mind. I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. I found out that in order to be blessed, I'm going to have to hear the word of God. And I'm going to have to do the word of God according to what Jesus said. Because Jesus made the statement, blessed. More than just the woman who bore me and the womb that bore me, more than just the breast that fed me is blessed. Everybody that hears the word and everybody that does it, it's your call. And God says in Deuteronomy, I place before you blessing and cursing. It's up to you. You're going to follow something else other than God, you're going to get cursed. And that means society, social systems, ideologies, philosophy, going to get cursed. You want to have a great marriage? You find out what God says about a great marriage and do the marriage. You don't go to some marriage counselor, even though God bless them, some secular marriage counselor that's not going to give you the information from God and say, well, this is the way you ought to deal with it. Your mom was this way. You ought to be careful about your mom. Says, I don't give a flip about your mom. You got a new mom in heaven. His name's Jesus. You got a new dad in heaven, Jesus. Are you following me? And if you'll do what Jesus tells you to do by hearing and doing it, in other words, I'm placing before you blessing, cursing, it's your call. A lot of people don't ever see that. They just want to keep in there with church. I want to be a good person. Maybe God will bless me someday. God's not going to bless you until you start hearing and doing what God says. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, there is something that proves beyond your words. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I sing songs. I go to church. I love you. I love you. Oh, I love you. Then Jesus says, then keep what I say. Even though it rubs you the wrong way, guys. Even though it doesn't fit with our thinking, our philosophy, our society, our social system. It doesn't fit with what everybody else is doing. It's not cool at all. Who cares about being cool? You know who's cool? It's the one that's blessed. And you know it. You make heroes out of them. The one that's blessed is the one that's cool. Blessed doesn't just mean money. It doesn't mean all that stuff. It means everything. A great marriage, a great relationship, accomplishment, fulfillment in life, you know, abundance, so you can have more than enough. All those kind of great things that make life just fabulous. How about peace or, you know, long suffering in your life where things don't bother you? How about an absence of anxiety in your life and emotional things in your life? All because why? You're blessed. And it's all before every one of us, blessings and cursings. And it's your call, not mine. Don't you love the people? Come on, I just need to be blessed. Will you pray for me? No. It ain't going to do any good if I lay hands on you. What good is it going to do? Like I'm some kind of like magic wizard if I put my hands on you and I pray a blessing over you. Oh, I'm so spiritual. God says, oh, he's wonderful. I guess I'll bless them because he's wonderful. It doesn't work that way. Somebody needs to love you enough to tell you it doesn't work that way. You don't have to go running after every guy in town that's outselling his books and tapes and CDs and all that kind of stuff and trying to get you to give him money on a monthly basis so that you can support what he does. Let me tell you something. That's not how it works. Here's how it works. You want to get blessed. It's not with somebody laying hands on you. It's when you hear and keep the word of God. Now, how do you do that? By the grace of God. And it's a choice we make. See, it was so simple, isn't it? But so many people miss this. Promises to the obedient. Are you ready? I love this. Number one, brings God to my side. I need God to be on my side. I don't need just people on my side. I need God on my side. I can have people on my side. I don't need money on my side. I don't need favor on my side. I don't need any of that junk on my side. What I need is God on my side. And when I am obedient, according to the word of God, God gets on my side. And with God on my side, if God's for me, who's against me? You know what I'm saying? If God is with me, is there any problem that he can't handle? I need God on my side. In order to get God on my side, I got to get on his side. Are you following me? Let me say it again for some of you that missed it. In order for me to get God on my side, I got to get on his side. See, that doesn't mean just going to church. Going to church helps me to get onto his side. That means just giving your little bit of money every now and then. That's fine, but guess what? It means that you do things God's way. It means you made a commitment that you're going to go. In order to get God on your side, you got to first get on his side. But I need God on my side. I need God on my side raising my kids. I need God on my side in marriage. I need God on my side in business. I need God on my side with everything, on health and every other situation. I need God on my side. So do you. Now, I like what the Word of God has to say. Let me just take you and mark it down in your Bible. It's kind of cool. In Exodus, the 23rd chapter. We're going to just play in the Old Testament for a little bit. Is that okay? Somehow, during the middle of the week, we've just been in the Old Testament a lot. Exodus 23rd chapter. In fact, let's take a look at verse number 22. It says this, but if you indeed obey, now here's the condition. Remember, we're talking about what? We're talking about promises to the obedient. Obedience to God's word brings what? Blessing. Blessing is what you want, not what? Cursing. So it says, if you indeed obey his voice and do, everybody say do, all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Whew. I like that. I need God on my side. Everybody that wants God on their side, say amen. Amen. We're talking about promises to the obedient. Here's number two, promise to the obedient. Life will go well. If you're obedient, life will go. I don't know. I need life to go well. I don't need crummy life. I don't need to just get by. I don't need to be frustrated all the time, wondering what's going on. I need to have a life that goes well. I'm tired of everybody saying, well, it's just the devil after you. Can I tell you, devil, just go jump in the lake, man, of fire. It's made for you. I'm tired of that. I just need some things to go well. And so do you. And there's a promise to the obedient. life will go well. While you're there in the Old Testament, go with me to Deuteronomy. And let's take a look at it together. And when you get into Deuteronomy, let's check out the fourth chapter right off the bat. The fourth chapter in verse number 40. And you shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today. In other words, there's the condition. You're going to make a choice. Are you going to follow God, hear God, listen to what he says, and do what he says so that you can choose for your life whether it's blessed or not? There's the condition. That it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong the days. I mean, that means long life. In the land in which the Lord God has given you for all time. I mean, what a promise from God is that? How many of you would like to just have it go well with you and your children and have long life? Anybody want short life in here? My mom's 92 years old. She says she's much too young to go. She says, I'm not going anywhere. I said, Mom, when are you going? I'm tired of picking you up, taking you to church every week. I think Jesus wants you home. She says, I'm too young. I'm not going. I'm telling you, nobody wants short life. We all want to live long. We want to have things go well when we live long. We don't want to live long, be miserable. Anybody want to live long, be miserable? See, the same people that cast the devil out of the first people, they'll cast the devil out of you too. You know you don't. My goodness, we're talking about a wonderful subject called promises to the obedient. The obedient are those that make a choice to follow God because they hear what he says. And then God will bless you. He's put before you blessings and curses. You choose. Here's number three. God will build a heritage. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited to think of that. There's a destiny for my family. You know, I've often said this to you. You've heard me if you've hung around this church for very long at all. Most of us don't last past a couple of generations before they throw out your picture. And all of a sudden forget who you are. But how'd you like to have a heritage? You know, a heritage of God is not just leaving them a bunch of money. Even though he says you can leave money to the kids of your grandkids, grandkids of your kids. That he wants you to prosper so much to do that. But that's fine. But how about a heritage of God? Did you know that a lot of people that are in trouble, if they can go back in their family tree, will find one generation after another have trouble? They're drunks that came from drunks that had drunks that became drunks. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's time to break the family curse. It's time to say no more. My dad was divorced, my mom was divorced, my grandpa was divorced, my grandma was divorced. They hated each other, and now here I'm going through divorce. I don't understand. It's time to break the family curse. And there's a heritage that you leave that's greater than money. And that's God. My great-great-grandkids won't even know who I am. But there'll be something on the inside of them that will spark them towards the things of God. And they'll want to be with God. They won't know why. But they'll never know until they get to heaven that their great-great-great-great-grandpa was a preacher of the gospel. And that's called heritage. And you can look in Debbie's family tree for an example. She had relatives when she was a little kid that were missionaries in the Congo, preaching the gospel, singing songs. Her mother was a church secretary. Her mother was came from a whole missionary line of musicians and worship leaders in the churches throughout. And that's just this generation she knew. It goes all the way back. And then here comes Deborah. That's called heritage. She doesn't even know what they look like, doesn't even know their names, doesn't have any idea, doesn't matter. There's just something on the inside of her that draws her close to God. And it was somebody who set a course for the heritage of their children. And there's very valuable for you to do that. You're in this place, and what you're in this place for is not just you, but the generations that follow you after you. And that they may not even know who you are, but your kids will grow up, and their kids' kids will grow up, and they won't know who you are. But there's something on the inside of them that just draws them to God. They have a hunger for God. They love God. They believe God. And you wonder, how come they can be that way? It was because of you sitting in a church service, worshiping God, making a decision. I got 9 grandsons, and I'm believing God every one of them are going to be preachers. I got one that says he wants to be a biologist. I said, a hoologist? I don't know what a biologist exactly does, but I'm going to tell you what I know you're going to do. And I pull out a 20. And then I pull out another 20. And his eyes are getting big. He's only like about 8 years old, right? And I pull out another 20. He says, Papa, what do you want me to do? I said, just don't close your mind to what God has for you, son. God's going to call you to preach the gospel. He says, looks at me, he says, okay. I'm telling you guys, you're just setting in motion the future. You're in this place tonight. You think you're in this place for yourself. You're not. You're setting in motion the future. You're setting in motion breaking curses that the devil had a hold of your generations past for too long. Now they're going to be set free by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where they used to be failures, there'll be victory. Where they used to be nothing and headed for failure and disgust and remorse and shame, they're going to be headed into the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God. Oh, I'm telling you, you're here for a reason, and there's a heritage waiting for you. I just saw your son. Your son said to me the other day, he said, man, he says, I'm working with my dad. It is so good to hear my dad talk about Jesus. And I said, you and your dad framing together? He says, yeah, we frame. He doesn't frame as much as I do. He says, but where he leaves off, I pick up. We're a team. We work together. I was so happy to see that. And I want you to know there's a generation coming after, a generation after generation after generation. You know why? Because you're here tonight. Ooh, I'm getting excited when I talk about that. Can you tell? You know, I'm so sorry if you've never seen a preacher excited. I'm really sorry. But how in the world do you believe this and not get excited? Let me try it. Let me try it a different way. I want you to see the difference. You're going to leave a heritage? I hope you do. It might be that you're going to... Your kids might get blessed, and I hope you make it. I hope they make it. Hello? Shoot that preacher, would you? Man, if you don't believe thus saith the Lord God, get out of the pulpit. If you can't get excited about God's word, how are you ever going to get the people excited? Oh, I'm so sorry. I just got bad. I know I did, but I tell you, I get kind of frustrated. You go with me to 1 Kings 11 chapter. In fact, just pop it up on overhead because I've been preaching too long already. 1 Kings 11 chapter, verse 38. This is the first part of it. Then it shall be that if you heed all the commandments of walking my ways, listen to all the my's here, and do what is right in my sight and keep my statutes and my commandments. This had nothing to do with you. Get it in your mind. It's not God following you. You are following God. Well, listen, if you think God's going to follow you, I've placed cursings and blessings. You're on the road to cursings. You got to follow God. Is anybody listening? It's not easy, but God gives you the power to do it if you really want it. Then verse number 2 comes along and says, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. In other words, listen, that's an enduring house. Out of that bloodline comes the Messiah. Generations later, guys, David's bloodline. Don't talk about not being enduring. And out of that bloodline of David comes Messiah, and you're born of the Spirit of God. So guess what? Your DNA now, spiritually, is the bloodline of David. I'm talking spiritually now. Don't go to their doctor and say, give me my, you know, it ain't going to work. You're going to have your mom and dad's physical DNA. I'm talking about spiritual. Is that okay? We understand? I don't want anybody walking out and say, Pastor Jim lost his mind. He said, I am a descendant of David. You are in terms of spiritual because you're hooked up with Jesus. Anybody listening? So I want you to get out of here and get all freaky and start judging me and saying I'm goofy and send me emails that I don't know how to read.
Promises to the obedient, number four. Not like this one. This is an obvious one. And yeah, it'd be crazy. If you don't like this and you don't believe this, would you please pray it for me that I get your share? Here's number four. God will prosper you. Hello. I didn't get saved to be a loser. Some people are like, I just got saved to be a loser. I want you to know something. I didn't get saved to be a loser. I got saved to be a winner. The tomb is empty, man. Jesus has got the victory. He's got the keys of sin and death. I'm telling you, and he says, listen, all things are possible to him that believes. In other words, he's given us a blackboard or a whiteboard and given us a chalk and says, here's your future. What do you want? And it better line up with whose will and whose plan and his way and whose statutes? His. He's not getting involved in yours. You're getting involved in his, because in yours is failure, but in his is victory. So someone says, oh, well, listen, you shouldn't teach the church that because they'll go off running for material things. Well, guess what? This is not about material things. This is about getting involved with his stuff, not your stuff. He knows our stuff stinks. His stuff's good. Our stuff brings us to cursing. His stuff brings us to blessing. And that's the choice you make. Is anybody listening? Man, I'm talking about prosperity. I like what it says. Just pop it up, Isaiah, first chapter. Isaiah, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient. Ooh, come on. Can I just have the rest of the verse without the first part of the verse? I want to eat and... the good of the land. That means prosperity, by the way. I want to eat the good of the land, but I and there isn't anybody that wants to eat the good of the land, but you can't take the last part of that verse without putting the first part to work. You know, God said it, that settles it. That's the way I'm going to live my life. That's the way I'm going to think. I don't care how many scientists. Let me tell you something. I don't give a flip if they find men on the backside of Mars. That does not change my evaluation of who Jesus Christ is. I don't care whether they cut out all the tax things and they don't let us get a write-off with our taxes in the United States. It will not stop me from giving. I don't give a flip. If little green men land in New York City, I think they're already there in Washington, D.C., but I'm not sure if they're there in New York City. But I don't give a flip because that doesn't change the fact that my Jesus' tomb is still empty. Everybody said, well, that'll prove. I don't give a flip. They find dinosaurs for 50 million years ago. Doesn't matter. Good. I'm glad. All I know is Jesus Christ breathed into that man when he did and how he did. What man used to be is nothing, and now he becomes a living man after the things of God. Let me tell you something. I don't give a flip. My Bible says it goes back 6,000 years. It's 6,000 years. Was there people before that? May have been, but they didn't have the breath of God inside of them. May have been Neanderthal men. May have been monsters on the earth. Of course there's been 10,000 years ago. Who says there isn't? But there's a time when God intervened in man and he made man out of the dust of the ground in his image, breathe life into him, and that's when life started, where man had God on the inside of him. And for us, that's when time began. So proving dinosaurs does not make it so I don't prove who God is. I don't give a flip. How many dinosaurs? They can show up in your backyard. I don't give a flip. Guess what? All I care about is God gathered the dust of the ground, breathed life in them, and man came alive. What do I care? So, I got to have the things of God. Are you following me? Now people come along and say, I want you to know, the earth's only 6,000 years old. You're stupid. You're stupid. Earth's older than that. 6,000 years ago, God breathed into man. And man became from an animal, whatever men that were on the planet probably became, that were men that were there before, tens of thousands of years that were like men, but weren't men,
that we're lightning. If that's your theology, fine. If it's not your theology, who cares? The verse still works. The verse is still the same thing. The verse is still there. It doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change what we do. It doesn't change what we have. And it doesn't change what we believe. We believe that God Almighty breathed into man and he became alive. And that's the truth. That you have to believe. And we're made in the image of God. Now, when that all happened, I don't know and I don't give a flip. I'm just here believing. My goldfish don't believe. All 12 of them. Not one of them. I asked them, you believe? And I don't believe nothing. But they don't have the life of God in them, that's why. Nor are they made in the image of God. We now have a different approach. Are you listening to me? Number five, last one for tonight, and I quit. I absolutely quit. Promises to the obedient. God will live in you. Just like he lived in that man when he created man from the dust of the ground, God will live in you. God will live in you. Jesus answered and said in John, the 14th chapter, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Someone says, I thought God just loved me anyway and made his home with me anyway. My Bible says that it doesn't mean that God doesn't come in you when you get born again. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I don't know. This verse comes along and makes it very clear that when you get born again, that the Father loves you and you're doing what God's Word says. He loves you and he will come to you and make his home with you. Wow, that's powerful. So all of a sudden, the most valuable point is not that he prospers me. The most valuable point to me is that God will live in me. That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That you are wall to wall Holy Ghost, and God lives on the inside of you. Therefore, when the statement comes along and says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, guess who he's talking about? God is in you. You are now the housing place of God on the planet. Can you imagine that? And we don't see ourselves as worthy. We don't see ourselves as successful. We don't see ourselves as prosperous. We don't see ourselves as anything but losers on this planet, when in fact God gives you and I the ability of his grace to make a choice that'll choose your future. And it's your call. That's a pretty bizarre bunch of promises. Promises to the obedient. If God spoke to you tonight, give him a great big praise the Lord. You hear that? Woo. Thank you, Lord.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.